On this week's show, in space, no one can hear you scream, unless you're an intern. Then nobody cares. Fortunately, we have Aleix Ortuño Velilla, I did it, on board to hear our cries and help us survive Professor Lupo and his horrible pets. Luigi's Mansion 3 haunts us with a rumored October release date, and Nintendo sheds some light on Fire Emblem's completion time, which is just about as scary. And finally, the hype zone is better than good. It's great! This is Nintendo Dual Screens episode 107. Everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 107 for the week of July 15th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me as always, each and every week, every single time that we do this thing, he is here, and he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
If I had a scorecard to rate your intro, it'd be a perfect 10.
Perfect 10. It was good. It was good. We did it.
Yeah. You did the entire thing flawlessly. You got the name right, pronunciation and everything. It's early for us that we're recording, so
it is
double points. So it's an 11 on my scorecard.
It's early for us, but I am up about 3 hours by now because the children got up, you know, around 7:30. That was fun. And with us today as our guest is Aleix. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here to talk about Professor Lupo. I played it pretty much all last week, did the review for dualscreens.com. Really dug it, so I can't wait to pick your brain about it and, you know, dive deep down into it. But for those of you who are new to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast is an interview show where Andy and I bring an industry guest to talk the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And of course, we post it every week on dualscreens.com. Speaking of dualscreens.com, we did review a bunch of games this week, including The Padre, Eagle Island, and the aforementioned Professor Lupo and his horrible pets. So head over to dualscreens.com to check those out. If you want to support our show, you could do so on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, the Grandmaster himself, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you so much. We cannot continue to grow without your support. So please head over to Patreon and consider backing us. You can back us with as little as $1, and that $1 will get you VIP access to our members-only Discord channel, where you can discuss all the shows, everything Nintendo, everything non-Tendo, anything you want, not just with us, not with just with each other, but also with industry guests that we have had on the show. So it's really cool. Speaking of Patreon, because we hit that tier, this is our third week now that we are going to be giving away prizes every week on the show, thanks to hitting our appropriate goal on Patreon. So this week's prize was a $20 eShop voucher and an Eagle Island plushie. Thanks to, we had Eagle Island. We spoke all about Eagle Island last week, so we wanted to make that all about Eagle Island. And so let's draw our winner for this week's contest, and then we will maybe give you a hint about what we're going to give away next week. The winner is at Luigi Leo M. That's at Luigi Leo M. Congratulations. We will reach out to you over Twitter. We'll discuss the details with you. And remember, every week we'll have something fun to give away. So be sure to tune in until the end of each show to find out what our next giveaway will be. To enter, simply retweet this episode after we post it on Twitter. And where do you find us on Twitter? That's simple. It's at NDS Podcast. That's at NDS Podcast. Woo, we did it. We got through all the rigmarole, Andy.
So many words.
We just keep adding a lot of stuff to that
I know.
Part.
We got to trim that intro down. It's getting a little word heavy.
You know what? It's the introduction.
War and Peace levels of text there.
It's a little bit more Les Mis than War and Peace, I would say.
Mm-hmm. It's like Stephen King's It.
Right.
Super thick.
Right. Super thick and about 300 pages of uselessness.
And terrifying.
Right. 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 Well, we are here, and before we get into Elaish and the lead story here and everything about Professor Lupo, let's go. It's our favorite segment of the week, and that is the Nindies of the Week. Andy, what is your Nindy of the Week?
I'm playing Blazing Chrome.
Yeah, you are.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's we have Contra's back, guys. It's more Contra than
another
Contra game coming out. Well, Konami won't. Well, they're doing something, but it's not Contra. It has the name Contra.
Sure.
But that's not Contra to me.
Sure.
It's everything I want it to be. It's a classic side-scrolling shoot 'em up. Mm-hmm. It's a love letter to Contra. It's more difficult than Contra, which is a little alarming.
Yeah. Yeah,
I went back and played Super C on the collection after getting my ass kicked in Blazing Chrome, and I just blazed through it.
Right.
Like, oh, this is easier than I remembered it being. But I have one minor complaint, though, about Blazing Chrome.
Oh, boy.
Well, two complaints. There's a slide mechanic.
Okay.
It's like you crouch and press, I think it's A.
Right.
Yeah, crouch and A, or kind of crouch and B, and you slide, which it happens when you don't want it to. I feel, because I'm trying to play like it's Contra, but that mechanic is a bit throwing me off in my gameplay. Mm-hmm. There's that, and the weapons are good, but they're not great.
Okay,
like it's not a spread gun. That's what I'm saying. Nothing of that caliber.
Right. But
their options are fun, but they're not. They could have been better.
Gotcha.
But beside that, it's a great game. I recommend it. It's only, I think, $17 now in the eShop.
$17. Yeah. That's a great game. That's a weird
great game.
That's a weird.
Well, it was $16.99.
Yeah. Okay.
Is the actual
price.
Well, yeah.
Andy, this week, aside from Professor Lupo, which I've played quite a bit of, but we're going to talk about that as our lead story, right? Yeah. Ain't that right, Elaish? We're going to get into that real good. Another game that I had played a little bit this week, and I think most of our listeners would enjoy this, is Skelly Celeste.
I've heard about this one.
Yeah, it's like a top-down roguelike shoot 'em up type game. The best way I could describe the mechanics are it's like Doom 2016, except top-down and sprites. Like,
okay.
you play this a skeletal creature or whatever, and you're basically trying to get through hell, essentially. And you have a gun. Your gun has, I think, 5 or 6 bullets, and the way to get more bullets is to do melee attacks. So it's almost, I mean, it's really similar to Doom 2016, but you're constantly shooting and swinging and shooting and swinging, getting power-ups and going from room to room. It's a lot of fun. So check out Skelly Celeste. I think I'm going to do a review for it once I finish it for the site. And which site is that? Easy. Dualscreens.com. Cool beans. I know Elaish is sitting there trying to follow the bouncing ball here. Elaish, are you playing any Nindies this week?
I was very very afraid that you asked me that, because actually the game that I played the most is actually Professor Lupo, and I was feeling very bad, because it sounds very very bad that you are playing your own game. It sounds terrible. I was very, because if it was the last week, I was playing to What Remains of Edith Finch, which
that's a great game.
I loved very much, but this week I don't have any indie, and maybe you have to skip the question, because if not, I will. Yes.
We have interviewed about 50 guests, and almost all of them are only playing their game, because we get them.
We're not playing a game at all, because they're too busy making their own game.
Exactly. Or they're not playing. Exactly.
You don't have to say so. You have to keep to yourself. Yes, it's the problem with the interviews. I open myself too much.
It's no worries. All right, so let's get into the releases of the week, and then we'll talk all about Professor Lupo, because I think our listeners really, really should be playing that game. So let's go into the releases of the week. So we have, starting on the 16th, I don't know, they still have Friday's games up here, Andy. It's very upsetting. But they have, coming out on the 16th for $12 or $11.99 is Distrust. We have Let's Sing 2019.
Love it.
Coming out. wow. Okay. All right. Sure. Lost Orbit Terminal Velocity is coming out on the 16th as well. Forklift the Simulator.
I knew that would break you.
Forklift the Simulation.
In case you're wondering what it was like to drive a forklift, there's now a game called Forklift the Simulation, which is very hypey, I must say. It's only $10. You may have to buy this only? And review it.
Oh my god. Okay, Let's Go Nuts is coming out. Etherborn, we have Royal Roads, World Cruise Story, Battle and Crash, Tarot Readings,
Premium.
Archlion. I don't know. It's always confusing when they combine two words that shouldn't be combined. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
It's the only game that really matters.
That's the game that I'm real hyped about. I can't wait to pick that up on Friday. Astro Bears, which is another actually really good game, is also coming out on the 19th. Jim is Moving Out is coming out on the 19th. Mini Trains, Redeemer Enhanced Edition, and I think there's one. Nope, that's it.
That's it.
So I wanted to look at Let's Sing. I want to see what the track list here is. What they're showing here. Okay, so we have... Wow, okay. We have ABBA, Mamma Mia is on here. Lord's Green Light, and No Doubt...
Here we go again.
No Doubt, Don't Speak. So I just... Okay, there are one, two, three...
Great tracks on this.
They give you seven tracks that they're teasing here, and there's only 23 more in the whole game, and the highlights that they give you are Lord, ABBA, No Doubt, DNCE, Martin Garrix and Dua Lipa, never heard of them, Shawn Mendes and Rita Ora. Those are the highlights.
Listeners, it's a fun fact. Steven loves to belt out a song every now and then.
I do.
He's pretty great at karaoke. So I think we should maybe get this game and do it as a Twitch stream. Just have you sing for a little bit.
I have new... There is no way we are in... If I do that stream... Between subscribers and bits and whatever, there's no way we make up that $40 that we would spend to have me play that game.
It might be our moment when we break through the mold and become superstars.
That could be the
or it could end this entire podcast, one or the other. And I want to roll the dice and take that bet.
So, speaking of rolling the dice, that is almost precisely what you do in every single puzzle in Professor Lupo and His Horrible Pets.
Oh my god, here we go.
It is the okay, Andy, you know I'm not great at puzzle games, okay? I'm not great at them.
Or games in general.
Shut up, nobody asked you. I'm not great at puzzle games. Professor Lupo, I am confident in saying, is one of the hardest puzzle games I have ever played, but it was still an absolute joy to play. And Aleish, you're pretty much wore about three or four hats when developing Professor Lupo. So why don't you tell our listeners what exactly is Professor Lupo and His Horrible Pets?
What exactly is Professor Lupo? It's two things put together. It's a puzzle game where the main idea is that a puzzle game where you are not outside the game or outside the puzzles, you are inside the game. You have to solve the puzzles, and you are there. You are with all these aliens that want to eat you, and you have to escape. And yes, maybe it's a hard puzzle game because it's not just to think about how to solve the puzzles, which is something you have to do, but you have also to move confident. You have to do the right things in the right time, and it's something that maybe people is not used to. No, it's like it's maybe people think that they are two things very separate, or you are thinking, or you are playing, or you are using your skills, and maybe the idea beyond Professor Lupo, beneath Professor Lupo, is to put both things together. And always, it's a very narrative focused game. The narrative, it has a lot of yes.
So for me, like what stood out to me about the way that you solve puzzles is that everything is about planning ahead and making your movements deliberately. There's no wandering around trying to figure things out. There is a very specific way to solve every puzzle, and you kind of moving around and looking around and seeing the different doors you can open or the different traps and all that stuff, and how you can use the aliens to your advantage when trying to solve the puzzles as well. It tosses up these, first of all, the puzzle design, the actual room designs themselves are brilliant, because you could spend 10, 15, 20 minutes wandering around and being like, okay, there's maybe 20 different tiles that I could stand on, and for some reason, in those 20 different tiles, I can't figure this out. And you're racking your head, and all of a sudden, it clicks. And now you know exactly where to stand, which doors to open, where to move when, how to bait the alien to come towards you or go in the opposite direction, or using the... There was one level where... It's like a figure eight, the stage, and there's two monsters and they go in either direction, and you're basically screwed. There's no way to really avoid it. But once you figure out that you can actually lure one of them onto the same side as the other monster, and now they're both on that side of the door because the doors kind of open up in sequence, now all of a sudden you figured it out. So it's got those aha moments, which are really, really brilliant, I think. One of the other things before we start asking you a bunch of questions, one of the other things that I thought was really, really smart was that there are three different ways that you can play this game. You could play it with the with just the gamepad, like normal, like moving with the analog stick. You could also touch the screen and precisely point to where you want to go. And then, speaking of pointing, you could also take a Joy-Con off and use it as I guess what would be the IR sensor or whatever, but like point and click. You could actually use that as well. And I think that that's a great use of the Nintendo Switch hardware. So the first thing that I want to ask you to kick everything off, what was the process like of becoming a Nintendo Switch video game? Like what was that like for you as a developer and all of that stuff? And also, what was it like using the hardware and taking advantage of all the hardware?
It was very important to us first of all, sorry, thank you for your words, and I am very happy, we are very happy you enjoyed the game. And about the hardware, about the console, we were to be released in Switch. It was very important to us. We wanted to be in this kind of console that is in every house, and you can join with your partner, your friends, and play in the TV, in the television, and enjoy the game all together. No? It was important to us very important to us to keep all the ways of control the game. We wanted that everyone can play as he want, and it was important to us assure that. And it was something about the control. We had very advanced the game when we begin to make the port to Switch and it has not changed the design of the game. It has changed the design of the controls, and we have been thinking a lot about that. And well, we are proud enough of you can play as you want. Which it's very joins very well the Nintendo philosophy of Switch, no? To allow you to play as you want.
I think you really nailed that. Now the analog control is probably the most difficult because it's not as precise. So you know, having those other options, especially the touchscreen option, is huge. But on the TV, playing it on the TV with the point, being able to point and click and everything like that, it was a great, great decision. So kudos on that. I think you guys really nailed that. Let's talk about the monster designs and stuff like that, because I thought that was like one of the strongest points of the game, where all of the unique aliens and monsters and how they act and their behaviors and their AI and stuff like that. Can you get into a little bit on some of your monster design, maybe your inspirations for them, or maybe the process of creating one or something like that?
I'm sure that the monsters are the most important thing in the game. When you have asked me about the game, I should start with the monsters, because they have the personality of all the game. And I think that the key is that you have to use them. All of them have their own behavior, and you have to use that behavior to take advantage about them. The creatures are actually very free. They walk around the levels using that behavior, that pattern, but they work very free. And at the time I were designing the levels, it was very challenging to me keep that freedom, because the aliens are very a Furax, one of the creatures, that it said that he's very intelligent. No, it's the most intelligent alien. It's the Furax, and actually it's so intelligent that it was very, very hard to make the levels, and the player has the chance to solve the level, because that alien was simply too smart to me.
He's a real pain in the ass. I got news for you. Real pain in the ass.
I don't have any vocabulary about that, but yes. I don't know if that responds to your question.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But that's one of the aspects of the game that we worked more. No?
Well, Steven, they even based one of the aliens on you. That's what I gathered.
The
Vermis. Big mouth with a tiny brain. That right. Sounds just like you.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, that's an apt description.
So you mentioned like the challenge of having a really smart alien creature in the game, and it was hard to solve the puzzle with a really intelligent monster. How did you balance that between the alien, their patterns and their behavior, with the actual puzzle solving part of the game?
The other day they asked me what's been the most difficult part of the game, and now I have think that actually the most difficulty at designing the levels was that we need to have some levels that were difficult enough to. The problem is that the players has very different velocities. There is the player who is very, very fast and who moves the inter very fast. He doesn't run, but which acts very, very, very fast. And there is a player who is not so fast. And it was very, very difficult to put that challenges. That it was an obstacle in the way of both kind of players. It was very difficult to solve that, and it was the sometimes actually I see a person playing the game, and I've noticed that if he dies 100 times, maybe one of these 100 times he has time enough to reach the goal without solve the puzzle, because the monsters in that moment are working for another way or something, and it's very, very hard to keep all of this freedom in the game. But I don't know, focusing in the main ideas of the level. Each level, each puzzle has beneath or a main idea. and making it the much simpler you can do it, you achieve that people go through the puzzle.
I think that when you start to understand the monster behaviors, the alien behaviors, when you start to really see how they move based on your movement, once you see that, you can then kind of look at the level as a whole, and you could almost see how everything would play out before you even move, especially early on in the earlier puzzles, which I think is a great tool to teach the player how to think before they start moving, because that's what, in the very beginning, that's what was discouraging me, was that I was playing with the analog. At this time I wasn't using touchpad, and I wasn't using the pointer, and I was using the analog, and I was moving around, just kind of like messing around with the environment, and then boom, get killed. I'm like, okay, well, I can't do that again, but I'm supposed to do that. But I'm supposed to do what I did. I'm just not supposed to do it in the timing that I did it. It's all about timing. It's all about your reflexes. It's all about planning ahead and understanding the environment around you. Can you speak a little bit about the philosophy that you had when designing these monsters? Did you always want them to be independently smart, or independently, almost independently programmed from the level itself? Or did you build the aliens to move around very specific puzzles? In other words, if you took an alien out of a room, let's say, and then put a different alien in that room, would the puzzle still be solvable, or were the rooms and puzzles specific to the monsters that were inside them?
No, the creatures are autonomous, but no, it's every level it's thinking thought about to be used by some aliens. One thing that is very important is that the player, one of the main pleasures of the game is to learn about the creatures, and that's the one thing that we wanted to the way you are at the beginning, you don't know anything about these creatures, you don't know how they move, and you go and you each time you learn more about these aliens, and actually you become a better player just by learning all these things. There is a replayability in each level. You have to you can collect some items, no? And it's not thinking to collect them at the first time you play the game, but to come later. And when you have learned more about these creatures, to come later and use what you have learned to solve this replayability, no? So
I wish I knew that. That was the thing that kept stopping me from. I'm like, I want to get this controller. It's right there. I can get it. It's easy. And no.
We should explain it better. I recognize that, but it's something that I really love, because it's an improvement that it not depends on experience points, and it's just you that you become better. It's something that I learned with Mario when I played Mario Sunshine a lot of years ago. At the beginning, there are stars that you can get because you don't know how, and you each time you play, each hour you spend playing the game, you are better, and it's very satisfying to get some star that it was there all the time but you didn't know, and now you know how to get it, and actually I wanted to keep that, to take that and to put it in our game, and I think that we have succeeded, because actually you don't know how to get the item at the beginning, but I can promise you that when you reach some levels, you will be able to come back and to reach if you think enough.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that aspect of it, on the replayability aspect of it, because there are over 100 levels. I don't exactly know the exact count, but having to go back, and you're able to get those collectibles, that really does add a bunch of replayability to this game, which is another value proposition for anybody who purchases the game.
Yes, and that led my boss, the CEO of Beauty Fan Games, was very worried about to make the puzzles not so much difficult. You know, it's a hard game. It's a, you have said, but it's not so hard at the end. So in the replayability, I was able to make challenges that. They go beyond the regular difficulty of the game, and I want to say something more that it's a game where you die a lot of times. I know that, and it's but I'm happy that you have said that you die because I know that the players are impatient and it doesn't matter, no. It's almost funny to see the intern being devoured, but you, if you, we don't wanted to force the player to use the try and error routine. You can do it, and it's not it doesn't matter anything. But actually, every puzzle game can be thinked. Can be thought from the beginning, no?
Yeah.
I love how the game is like it's a very challenging puzzle game, and for like a big dummy like me, it's especially challenging. But the one thing I like about it is it's actually a very well written and funny game as well. Like it has a lot of personality, and it keeps you engaged with this whole world that's going on around you. Can you speak a little bit about the writing and your thoughts on making actual good humor in a video game? Because it really caught me off guard how much humor was in this game.
I'm happy you think so. We were very focused. We wanted to make a game with personality, no? And we find this humor that you say, and actually I think that it's my interest was to use a humor that it was very ridiculous because there is very ridiculous parts, but at the same time was a game that I don't know the word that keeps seriously on. It takes seriously to itself. I don't know if
it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
No. The other thing, it's ridiculous. At the same time, the game thinks that there is no. There is no such ridiculous the things that they talk about. It's
real to them. They're really going through this situation.
The characters, right? They are risking their lives, right. But for us as the players, we can see that everything is it's funny and it's ridiculous, and the characters mean a lot of them. They are very.
It's dark and absurd. That's really what it comes down to. And that was one of the things that I actually took issue with, was that to me, as I'm a goofy type, you know, I'm a goofy guy. Like I'm the humor is like my thing, and playing the game and I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm almost not sure I was supposed to until the intern basically says, you know, I'm gonna kill you, professor. Like he was like, oh shit, okay, we're getting to the, okay, here we go, now we're getting there, now we're understanding the relationship here between the intern, who looks like he should be above the professor. When I think intern, I think of like a teenager. I don't know why, but
yeah, he's like older for an intern, by the way,
which
he's
is like, hilarious. He almost
a little bad going on. Yeah. It's like, oh, this guy, where's your life gone? Now,
yes,
it's
what you have said. It's both of ways. We wanted to put the two things together, and I think it works very well. But you are saying that with the humor, you don't ever know what will what will be the reaction of the audience, no?
Right,
there are things that you think that are funny, and maybe they are not. But I think that people has laughed a lot with this game, and I'm very, very, very happy about that.
I think I felt bad. I think that's what it was. I felt like I shouldn't be laughing at some of the ridiculous situations that it was getting into. And Professor Lupo makes me very uncomfortable, by the way.
It's like watching a monster movie. When someone gets eaten, you can't help but laugh at it. That's what's trying to do. It's like it makes you just giddy when you see someone get like devoured by this giant monstrosity.
Right.
I don't know. There is that solemnity, and at the same time, there is the ridiculous part. Yes, I know. And we know that the characters they are clichés. We know that perfectly, but we think that we have used that clichés that and we have made some things about them that go beyond the cliché. I don't know.
Well, listen, Lupo is he's a capitalist. He's a very strong model for business. He gathers up all these aliens and he intends to sell them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't fault him for that. It seems like a really sound idea to make some money.
It's a funny thing because he thinks that he's a philanthropist.
Yes.
He's very, yes. Maybe at the end he will be a mad scientist. Who knows?
He's very unnerving because the absurdity that's coming out of his mouth, but the way that he's delivering it, like just matter-of-factly, like, oh, here are these horrible aliens that this one will rip your face off. Like, oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, okay.
Well, I love how he's all like, you're all a bunch of warmongers and you love going waging war. Here's some really strong alien species you can purchase and use as weapons of destruction.
Speaking of purchasing, we do need to move on to our Nintendo news report. So why don't Aleix, why don't you tell everybody where they could pick up Professor Lupo and his horrible pets?
Why they have to buy the game? What's the question?
Yeah, where can they buy the game?
Ah, where? In the Switch, in the eShop? In the eShop. Thank you for the word. You have noticed I speak the same English as an Martian that has... Sorry for that.
And also, it is also available on Steam, correct?
Yes, sorry. It's in these two platforms. Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Definitely worth it. If you're a puzzle game aficionado, it is definitely going to be up there in one of your favorites as far as the Switch is concerned. But speaking of the Switch, Andy, it is time to get into Nintendo News Report, and we have some discussing to do over this whole Switch Lite. But if you want to hear our thoughts, our deep dives into the recently announced Nintendo Switch Lite, we did a bonus episode, Dual Screens Bonus Stage 0-5, all about the Nintendo Switch Lite, which you can listen to right now. It went up on Thursday, I think it was. Pretty sure it was Thursday or Friday. But we did put up a Twitter poll, Andy.
Two polls, and they were both very divisive. Yes. So you're all confusing us.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it anymore. we did one poll when it was first announced saying, hey, the light is a thing. Do you want it? Yes or no? And the bulk of our audience said, nope, not for me.
71% said no.
Yes.
So
we ran a second poll.
Mm-hmm. So we got more information and
more detailed questions.
Right. So the next poll that we put up there had four possible answers. Who out there wants one of these? Will it be your first? Yada, yada. So one of them was, yes, it will be my first Switch. The other one was, yes, it will replace my original Switch. The other answer was, yes, it will be my second Switch. And then the other one was, no way. And in this one, 80% of the people, it was an 80-20 split. Yes, this will be my second Switch, or no, I will not be getting it. So almost a complete opposite from the original poll of not getting it and then take my money. And also the Facebook poll, because we put the same question on Facebook, it was the other way around as well. It was 90% said no and 10% said yes, and it would be their second Switch.
I think everyone's trolling us. This is what's happening.
Really confusing stuff here, but interesting to say the least. But if you want to know our thoughts on the Switch Lite, please download the bonus stage episode. You can find it on dualscreens.com. You can find it on provinggamer.com. You could also find it where it's on our normal feed. So it's just a bonus episode. So just go in there and click on that. Aleish, did you know about, I don't know if you could tell us if you knew about it, but
what?
The Switch Lite?
Yes, I know about that. Yeah. Yes.
Now, I feel like Professor Lupo would have a few issues with it being a handheld only situation. Is that something that you're going to try and work around, or is it just going to be something where
you can play in this portal way, no? The Professor Lupo. I think that it will work perfectly. I don't know.
You could do touch screen, and I guess you could, out of the box you won't be able to use the Joy-Con situation. You would have to buy a Joy-Con. So doing the pointing thing would be different.
No, but you can touch the screen, no?
And you can still tap the screen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, actually in Professor Lupo our main idea was that your device, your Switch, it is the device that the Inter holds in their hands.
Oh, so okay.
It's a good way to play the game. In that portal way, touching the screen, I think that it will work. It will work very well.
Well, touchscreen is definitely the way that game should be played. So that's excellent news. So you're gonna get. You still have a good game that you could play on there. And that was one of the things we discussed about. We spoke about the Switch Lite was there are some games that use specific features that won't be on the Switch Lite. So go ahead and check that episode out. Oh, also, we recorded that episode. We did a video of that episode. That was our first ever live Twitch recording or broadcast of us doing a show. So you can go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, or you can go to our YouTube channel, which you just have to type in Nintendo Dual Screens. You'll find us and you can watch that episode, or go to dualscreens.com. The video is there as well. All right, let's talk about, speaking of specific features, let's talk about the specific region differences or the version differences for the Pokemon games, because we got some news about that, Andy.
Yeah. So the one thing about this that kind of struck a chord was, I'm not sure why some of the older Pokemon, like I saw that Larvitar,
mm-hmm.
Is only going to be in Shield and not in Sword. I don't understand why they need to, like, the older gen Pokemon, those aren't just across the board for both versions, and just have the newer ones be specific to each
version of
the game.
I think it's more it's just for thematic situations, because Larvitar is known to be about defense. It's like one of those defensive high HP type Pokemon, so I think that they're kind of going for that. They're going to load Shield with a lot of defensive type Pokemon.
That kind of makes sense.
I think that's kind of their reasoning behind it. Like maybe it'll have a Snorlax or something like, or the Slaking or whatever. Like that are those really meat Shield type Pokemon. And then of course, I mean, it goes to show with the other differences is that now for the first time ever, there's going to be specific gym leaders.
Yeah, that's the bulk of this. The really huge difference is there's distinct gym leaders per version of the game.
Right. So, a Pokemon Sword, you have Bia, who is a prodigy in karate. So it's fighting type Pokemon, which are all about offense. And then there's Alistair, who's in Shield, and that's a ghost type Pokemon. And ghost type Pokemon, we know, are all about making you not be able to hit them and you know, being very evasive and stuff like that. So it's more defensive style of training, I guess would be the word. So it makes I like the different trainers and the different the different gym leaders. I think that's really cool. But at the same time, I could see people complaining like, oh, now you're making me get two games.
I wonder if there's different perks for, like, if you challenge, let's say, Bia, do you get different rewards, or like what's, if it's only just a strictly, like, it's just a battle with no additional perks or key differences.
You know what would be really fucked up, Andy?
What?
What if you can't challenge the Elite Four unless you have all of the gym badges, including the specific ones.
You see, that sounds like some Oracle of Ages shit right there.
Right.
I need both games to get the full experience.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just suffering for the developers, no, because they have to make two versions. I am I have enough with one version to release the game, so I am suffering for them.
You mean you don't want to make Professor Lupo and his ridiculous pets and design 24 new monsters? And
it's something that I don't want to do.
It's going to be a Switch Lite exclusive. It's a different game for the Switch Lite with
a
different set of aliens.
Speaking of exclusive and stories and all this garbage, holy crap, Fire Emblem Three Houses is not only is just, and I think we spoke about this, I don't remember if it was the bonus stage or if it was last week.
We did touch on it, yeah.
To complete one of the houses, one of the three houses is 80 hours.
So
80 hours.
So essentially it would take you less time in real life to build three real houses.
Correct.
Finish three houses.
Correct. 2 weeks to build a house. It will take 240 hours to complete this game, and that's just like mainlining story. But that's not the only stuff that was revealed about Fire Emblem. Also, Three Houses, and this is coming from GoNintendo.com, Fire Emblem Three Houses confirmed to include same-sex relationships. It was rumored for a while, but Nintendo has now confirmed it. Fire Emblem Three Houses will indeed have same-sex relationships. Nintendo confirmed the information by saying that same-sex relationships are possible for select characters in the game. We don't have any details on who those characters are, so we'll have to wait and find out on our own while we play. So,
oh my God,
I think
touch swords.
We can cross the streams. So there's that. So inclusion for everybody. That's good news. For
my only thing is I really want to get to a point one day where this is not an announcement. Like it's just a standard.
It's just like, oh yeah, it's in there. Okay, cool.
Because I've been enjoying this kind of feature in games like The Sims like years ago.
Right. Right.
And it wasn't like a big thing, but you know, nowadays you got to highlight these things. So I want to get to a point where this is just, again, for games that have a romance option.
Right. It's kind of like
an assumption. Like, well, if you're a guy and there's guys, you can romance them. Like,
right, right. It doesn't matter.
It's what it is now.
Right, right. I still think the game to do it the best was Dragon Age Inquisition. I think that story, I forget the character's name, but that whole character arc and story arc, it would like made it, it was very, very moving. And I think,
right. But I then still again, think, right. The second you get to the actual lovemaking scenes,
well,
those are just
laughably
insane.
Right. Yes, of course. But
it kind of undercuts the seriousness of the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something funny because my brain has skipped all the subject of the sexual affairs, and I am thinking about the duration that you have set, the 80 hours and the 240 hours. And this is getting out of our hands, no? Because I sometimes I don't understand why people need so long games, so long video games. I don't understand.
I just think that there are certain game philosophies where they want to be the only game you play for a year. I honestly believe that. Like, The Witcher 3, to me, I think CD Projekt Red said, this is the only game you need this year. And I put 300 hours into that game and still have not done anything. So,
What's going to happen is we're going to be interviewing Aleix like 2 years from now with his new game, and we'll be still playing Three Houses at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, and I don't know, because when you read a critic about the film, sometimes they say the film is too long, but it's like never anybody says that a video game can be too long, you know? And I don't know. Indie experiences that are short, and I'm not talking about Professor Lupo. It's just like as a player, talking about other experiences. I like that games. I don't know. We'll have a life, no? But we need to play a lot of video games, and we can spend. I have enjoyed a lot The Witcher that you've said. I have enjoyed a a lot, but I need to play more video games.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm with you. There's a reason why I still haven't beaten Breath of the Wild, because that's just way too long of a time investment for me. RPGs, I barely beat them now. I did beat Final Fantasy 15 back, but that game was actually shorter for an RPG. Like, I think the sweet spot is like for a story-based or an RPG type game is anywhere between 12 and 15 hours. If you're somewhere between 12 and 15 hours, I'm fine, because if you have a weekend where you have no responsibilities and nothing to do, you could get through a game like that in a weekend. Yes. If, you know, that to me is the perfect video game. But there are some people out there that throw their Switch in their backpack and they only play when they're going to work, or they're going to school, or they're on their lunch break or whatever. When they wake up in the morning and they have their morning coffee, they're going to play for, you know, a half hour, an hour. And like a long game like that is perfect for them, because they're not going to go out and buy a bunch of games. They're going to buy the one big game and they're going to play that until the Switch 2 comes out. But whatever, it's to each his own. But hopefully you're finished with Three Houses by the time October rolls around, because Luigi's Mansion 3 has a potential release date. Which appeared on a retail site, and this is coming from DualShockers.com. According to Amazon Mexico, Luigi's Mansion 3 is going to drop in early October. Of all the news Nintendo revealed back in 2019, in E3 2019 specifically, one notable nugget of information that we were still left waiting for was the release date of Luigi's Mansion 3. Scroll down here. In a new listing over on Amazon Mexico, Luigi's Mansion 3 is said to launch on October 4th, 2019. This date actually checks out for a variety of reasons. For starters, it's before the end of the year, which is what they told us it would be. It also falls on a Friday, which is when their big releases come out. And also, it's a spooky game.
It's October, which makes sense for this game to come out in October.
Right. So
time for Halloween.
That's exciting. In time for Halloween, you can play some spooky games. Luigi's Mansion.
I think this will be like a super mega sleeper-ish hit for Nintendo.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
like it looks like the multiplayer part looks a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I can see this being like a Twitch, like super hit.
Yeah,
like I really can't wait to play more of this game. It looks really, really good.
Okay, and now this last bit of news here, which I threw in here last minute because I think it's worthy of a conversation.
Yes.
So Dr. Mario World had 2 million installs and $100,000 was spent in its first 72 hours. Now, your eyes may open wide and say, wow, that's a lot of downloads. That's a lot of money. Well, no, it's not. Because in the first 72 hours, where is it? There it is. The Fire Emblem, what is it called? Heroes? What's it called? Yeah, Heroes. Yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes had 4.9 million downloads and made $11.6 million.
Yeah, this seems to be a downward trend. I mean, with the exception of Dragalia Lost, which is a new IP, which I can see that not getting as much money as a Mario or a Animal Crossing.
Right.
This is on the low end for them.
Yes.
Mario Run did 6.5 million, Animal Crossing at 1.4 million. And Dr. Mario, it's just eking by. I mean, still, $2 million is still a lot.
No, 2 million still downloads.
That's a download.
$100,000.
Yes.
So it is less than 1% of what Fire Emblem made. Now, different games, and I will tell you this, it's awful. It's terrible. It is a awful, awful microtransaction bullshit gotcha mobile game.
Yeah, I don't fuck with that.
They changed Dr. Mario for some reason. They made it static little. It's just awful. It's an awful video game. If I downloaded it, I played four levels and said absolutely not, deleted. There was no chance in hell I was going to play that game anymore.
And people spend money on this.
Yeah, $100,000.
That could have gone to a charity or to feed starving children.
Or to a garbage pail and then light it on fire. It would have been more useful because at least we would have gotten heat.
Yes.
Alish, whatever you do in your life, don't ever make a gotcha mobile game. Just don't do it.
It's good to know.
Okay, don't do it. because then you'll end up here and we'll talk shit about you.
But hey, it's the top free app in Japan.
Great.
Number six in the US.
Too bad it's not free. You got that energy bar. You get to play five games. And then you got to wait for that energy bar. Every half an hour, you get one more token or whatever the hell it's called.
Way to bastardize a really fun IP, because I used to love that game as a kid.
Mario's great, man. But this, I got news for you. It's awful. All right.
Like, you could have probably made more selling an actual proper sequel on the Switch. Just do that
on the Switch and mobile. That's it. Done. All right. So let's get into the hype zone. It's time. Aleish, the hype zone is where we take the most important, and I'm saying important, and I'm winking at you in the camera. It's the most important news of the week, where we scream at the mountaintops because people need to know about it. Andy, take it away. Bring us into the hype zone.
This comes to us courtesy of NintendoSoup.com.
Love Nintendo Soup.
Most of our hype zones from Nintendo Soup.
Correct. Correct.
They're a great website. And that's a wink-free statement.
Right.
So we have an elaboration on the origins of Guigi, which is Luigi's little goo-like companion in Luigi's Mansion. And and Tanabe, the creator, discussed how he came to be. Says, and I quote,
This is a quote now.
Guigi is composed of energy extracted from ghosts that was brought to life when Professor E. Gadd spilled coffee on that energy.
Right.
As a result, Tanabe also believes that the goo that comprises Guigi would taste very likely like coffee. That's a lot of information to unpack.
A lot of information, guys.
We have the origins of one of the most beloved characters in video game history, which it's a shame that he's not in Smash Brothers yet.
Guigi,
is an Echo Fighter in the making.
If I ever saw one,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to now know that he tastes like one of our favorite beverages, coffee. Right. I mean, if he was in your house, Steven, you would be licking him all day long.
Absolutely.
Just at your side, just tonguing that green fucker.
I would have a straw coming out of right at the top of his head. Now, what's very important here to note is that this is need to know information.
And, it is.
And the whole world, I feel, needed to know this. So, well, I don't know Nintendo Soup's numbers. I don't know how many clicks they get on their articles. I don't know, okay? But what I do know is that this podcast reaches millions, if not billions, with a B. So it is very important that people know.
But Steven,
they should write it down.
Yes, they should.
Guigi tastes like coffee. Full stop. Period.
But we're not done yet.
No, I know.
Because there's more to go on this.
Uh-huh.
Because as we were talking about the origins and the flavor of Guigi, again, this is need to know information. That there might be a potential spin-off starring Guigi.
Right.
And the vision is... Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? This is some heavy shit.
Okay.
We could do a spin-off with all the different colors. A Guigi Power Rangers, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine what that would look like?
I was hoping it would be Guigi's coffee bar. Or like barista Guigi.
He's a barista?
Yeah.
Listic. It could be a mini game.
Each one will have his own flavor.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a good lore.
See, that's a partnership they should do. They should partner with Starbucks and make a Guigi drink, like one of those green bullshit drinks.
It could be the new Shamrock Shake.
It could be like a Frappuccino with pistachio. Mm-hmm. That actually sounds delicious. Only in October. Okay. We got through it. Aleish, we got through all of the news in the hype zone. So now it is time, ladies and gentlemen, to get into the Retro Game Club. Aleish, this is how this is going to work, okay? It's a fun little game that we like to play at the end of every episode.
Yes.
I am going to give 10 clues, one by one. about this classic video game. Now, when we say retro, we mean from the GameCube and backwards. So it would have appeared on a Nintendo console or handheld from the GameCube all the way back to the NES. I will give clues that are going to be a little bit more vague, but they'll get more obvious as we go along. And the reason that is because the quicker you get it, the more points you and Andy get. If you get it on clue number one, you get 10 points. Clue number two, you get 9 points, and so on and so forth.
And Andy, he doesn't know the answer, Andy.
He does not know the answer. You and Andy are working together as a team.
Okay, as a team. Okay, yep, okay. I am your... Yes, I am.
Okay.
So
you're
I'm the intern, and you're the we're going to work together to do this.
All right.
You will be the leader of these company.
Oh, then we're doomed.
All right. This video game did not come to the U.S. until 7 years after its initial release.
Holy crap. Okay, Alish. So that means it was in Japan?
Yes.
First, I imagine. Which is it's not a lot of games. This is a very...
Actually...
That's a rare thing.
It discards any game I know in the world, so...
Okay, look at that. It's a good first clue. It's not a lot to go on. So I think we should go to the next clue and see.
We can say, you know a game that responds to this description?
Because I don't know. When I think about the games that I grew up with, I don't know about their previous history.
Dragon Quest or something like that, maybe. Right. I don't know. Something like that. Maybe it was released to be in Japan at the beginning. I don't know.
All right, Steven, let's go for the next clue.
All right, next clue. This is clue number two for 9 points. After its U.S. release, its first U.S. release, it was released again in the U.S. 8 years later.
The same game.
So I'm thinking, Alish, this is a... it's got to be a classic, like a Nintendo or Super Nintendo.
Yes.
I'm thinking he's referring to the virtual console on the Wii and the Wii U.
Oh,
so it came out on the... Oof.
You are inside...
Can you repeat that one more time, Steven? How many years between the U.S. release and then the re-release? You said 8 years?
8 years.
8 years. Okay.
It came to the U.S. for the first time 7 years after its initial release, and then again 8 years later.
Okay. So, maybe it's GameCube or N64. That makes more sense to me than NES and Super Nintendo. Whew. Okay.
Yeah.
With the last clue, you have 0 points. You get 0 points, or you get 1 point.
No. It depends on when we guess the game.
Yes, I know, but if we use the 10 clues, we get
0 points. Yes, exactly. Okay. So we're still good so far. All right, Steven, let's go for the next
clue. Oh, the other thing is, Elish, you get 3 total guesses. So you could guess 3 times.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
This game, or this title, whatever game, was so popular that Nintendo and its original developers produced a sequel for this game on the Wii.
Interesting.
But the first clue is what?
So
it was Japan only, and then 7 years later, it came to the United States for the first time. And then 8 years after that, it was re-released. And the game was so popular, specifically in Europe and North America, that Nintendo and the original developer decided to make a sequel for the Wii.
Andy, I trust you.
A sequel on the Wii. Interesting. Steven, I want to clarify something.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
when you say sequel on the Wii, is it like a full retail physical release, or was it like a WiiWare download only game?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because that's two different things. I'm thinking of like a lot of different games where they did do some games that were sort of sequels on the Wii, but they were like those like WiiWare cheapy download games as opposed to a full-fledged physical game.
It looks like it was physical.
Okay, so there was an actual disc. You can buy it at a GameStop or a Best Buy.
Yeah,
proud sponsor of this podcast.
Okay. No, they're not.
Okay. All right. Sequel. Okay. So it was a part two. All right. Okay. Okay. Let's go for the next clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is 10, 9, 8, 7, right? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 10, 9, 8, 9. Yeah. So this is for 7 points. Clue number four. Due to a shortage of, due to a food shortage, the government of Japan has been developing a new species of animal for public to eat. Unfortunately, everything goes to hell.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting premise.
I don't know. Oh,
fascinating. Okay. Oh, man. What could this be? New food. Food shortage. Okay. Crap. What is this?
Scientist.
I don't know. I don't have a clue. So I have
I'm thinking, what could this be?
It will be a little ridiculous, but...
I mean, it sounds as ridiculous as Professor Lupo's premise, so we're on the same page with that.
The next clue is a good one. I think you might be able to get it, Andy, on the next clue.
Okay. Let's go to the next clue.
All right. Clue number five for 6 points. This game uses a unique Nintendo 64 controller layout. It utilizes both the D-pad and the control stick.
Both the D-pad and the control stick.
Alish, watch your breathing. You're breathing into the microphone a little bit.
He's so pumped about the Retro Game Club.
I know.
It's like running a marathon.
It is.
I want to ask a yes or no question.
Okay. So you forfeit a guess to ask a yes or no question.
Forfeit a guess. Okay. That's what I ask a yes or no question.
Okay.
Is it the sequel, right?
What?
It's a sequel.
That's not... I didn't say that.
No, you said that they made a sequel for this. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, I'll pass then. Because you're I'm not going to ask a yes or no question.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's go to the next clue.
Yes.
Next clue, please.
The gameplay can be described as an arcade-style rail shooter and a shooting gallery video game. This is clue number six for 5 points.
It seems like this was an N64 game.
Well, I did say that in the last clue.
Right. So we know that much. Oh, okay. Something about that plot sounds very familiar to me. But like the first thing I think of is Oddworld, which is not, it's PlayStation, not Nintendo.
Oddworld.
About making food and like whatever. Shortage of, that sounds so familiar. Can you repeat the food clue again? The food one?
The plot of the game is that there's a famine and scientists designed a creature or animal much like
a cow or like chicken.
Some sort of horrible pet, as it were. And these horrible pets or horrible foods, they revolt and they start to kill everybody.
It sounds really familiar to me, that plot, but I don't know. And I don't know any game that fits with the first clue, so I don't know. It sounds Jet for Gemini, but no, or no, I don't know. Andy, save the situation, save the day.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm trying to save the situation. It sounds very super familiar.
I think it should sound familiar to you.
Wait, there was a sequel on the Wii, you said?
On the Wii, correct.
Okay. I'm going to ask. I think I know exactly what this is.
What? I know.
I think I know what game this is. Now, the plot doesn't ring a bell at all, but I'm thinking of rail on the rail shooters, because there was a game that I played on the, I played the sequel on the Wii, not the N64 version, and I love the Wii game. One of my favorite games on the Wii. I'm going to take a guess here. It's the only rail shooter I know that was on the Wii.
So it's for five
aside,
points.
Aside from like Resident Evil, there was like that Dead Space rail shooter, I think, as well, that was on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to take a wild guess. Okay.
Wow.
Is this game N64? I think N64. Well, you did say it was. Sin and Punishment.
That is correct. It is Sin and Punishment.
Oh, yes!
It is Sin and Punishment. Developed by Treasure and Nintendo R&D number 1. Published by Nintendo back all way back in 2000. Japan only, but then was ported to the Wii, the eShop, whatever they call it, the Wii Shop, whatever the hell it was called, in 2007. It was so popular that Nintendo and Treasure, the original developers, decided to make Sin and Punishment Star Successor. And then later in 2015, they re-put Sin and Punishment back on the Wii U shop. The game is an on-rail shooter, much like Panzer Dragoon or Star Fox or Space Harrier. That's pretty much it.
You know what's funny? I had Sin and Punishment, the sequel, as a potential retro game club pick, but it was on the Wii. So I was like, should I go with the first one and do that? But I never played it that much or at all. So I didn't know much about it to talk to it. But the plot doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
Well, yeah. So I was looking for any game in Nintendo's history that had to do with either a professor that wasn't obvious or or like pets or like horrible monsters or whatever, like something. And what kept coming up, because it was from GameCube and back, was like The Sims 2 pets or whatever. So I kind of thought outside the box. I was like, you know, there was that game where, you know, monsters that were captured kind of, you know, went crazy or whatever. And I couldn't think of it. And I went down the rabbit hole a little bit, and eventually I finally found it. But yes, that's kind of why I went with that, is because it reminded me a little bit of Lupo's failed experiments trying to...
Yeah, the rail shooting was the only real giveaway for me, because otherwise, that's the one key gameplay thing that stuck out to me. Because again, I had a very limited Wii library when I was playing my Wii games at the time. Mm-hmm. And that one of the few games that I actually purchased was Star Successor. So really, really good choice.
I think it has been a question so difficult as so hard as the puzzles of Professor Lupo. I think it's fair to participate in it.
Well, you did a good job. You asked the right questions. You got the conversation rolling.
This game needs another installment. This is a great series.
They're fun. They're fun games.
Yeah, it reviewed really well from what I remember.
The original fun. Sin and Punishment was an 8. On Metacritic, and the second one was 8.5 on Metacritic.
Oh, so it got better second time around. So come on, Nintendo, get on this.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Remember, folks, Nintendo Dual Screens podcast is part of the Proving Gamer podcast network, which includes Trophy Whores, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, a user-generated, unedited, unfiltered pop culture podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. That's at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at Pants Guy. Elish, where can everybody find you and everything else that you do?
I don't know the spelling, so we are gonna skip this part.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me look it up. I'll see.
I think they're at Beautifun Games on Twitter.
Yes. We have to follow Beautifun Games, and we are grateful with this kind of support. So
it's okay. Excellent. So add Beautifun Games, go follow them over there, give them some love, and check out Professor Lupo and his horrible pets on Steam and the Nintendo Switch. And if you'd like to know my thoughts on the game more in depth, please head over to dualscreens.com and read that review. We would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join our Facebook group, you can do so. We are at facebook.com/groups/NDS podcast. The group grows each and every week, so the conversations are getting more and more interesting as more and more of you join. So feel free to do that. If you want to check out our Twitch streams, we are at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. You can email us your comments, questions, and concerns at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com. Remember, if you want to check out our pre- and post-show shenanigans, you can do that for, I believe it's the $10 tier on, is it the $5 tier on patreon.com/ndspodcast. That's patreon.com/ndspodcast. Aleish, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. You did a wonderful job. I know you were nervous about the language barrier, but you did a great job, and we appreciate you coming.
Thank you for inviting us, because it has been a pleasure to me. Sure.
We should also thank your lovely wife and your translator on the who, just in case you need to refer to someone, she was there the whole time.
Only one time. As far as we could tell, it was only one time.
Yeah. It was great.
Special thanks to Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray he's formerly of Game Stuff. I think he still does Game Stuff. For all of our overlays for Twitch. Thank you, Dan Colon of Dinosaur Machines and Hit Buttons Gaming, for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art. You can follow Andrew at Angimoto, at A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. Andy.
Oh, I have some things to talk about.
You do, huh? Well, first of all, thank you for joining me, as you do every week.
Of course.
Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I want to say two things, actually.
Okay.
Speaking about our awesome artist, Angimoto, we have some fun things in the works.
Ooh.
Yes. I've decided to create a new Twitter banner.
Okay.
For Twitter.
Excellent.
Just something a little more fun, a little more, something more in tune with our little indie game platform that our podcast has sort of become in the last year or so.
Sure.
And, yeah, some other fun stuff. So stay tuned for some fun things. And at this point, I usually announce next week's guest on the show.
Uh-huh.
And I love how we went from... I love the guest booking process, because it's always a big question mark for us on a week-to-week basis. We went from not knowing if you would get Aleish on this podcast this week to now we have the next... three guests lined up.
Woo, that's what I'm talking about.
So the order has yet to be determined, so I'm not going to make a definite announcement at this time, but to let you guys know, there's a big one in the works, and it's one of our most favorite games on the Switch, and it's kind of a big deal. So when that announcement goes forward on Twitter, it's going to blow up, I feel.
Kind of a big deal, guys.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Please be excited.
Yes, please.
Andy, what are we giving away to our retweet contest this week?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
there's a small puzzle game that came out. We had Aleish on, this guy Aleish on the show talking about it.
We should give away a code to
maybe
Lupo and his horrible pets.
I think that's what we're gonna do. So remember, folks, retweet this episode, follow us at NDS Podcast, and retweet this episode on Monday morning or, whenever. You have the whole week, essentially, to get your retweets in so that you could be entered to win a download copy. And remember, folks, for when we do physical gifts, it has to be the U.S. only, unfortunately, because we're giving, we're actually mailing stuff. And things get a little silly when we have to do international. I think for eShop, we might be able to get European codes, maybe. But just keep in mind that it might have to be North American only. But we'll clear that up as we get, as we actually give away the prize. We'll figure that part out. All right, that's it. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Aleish, as always. Thank you so much. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 107 for the week of July 15th, 2019. 19. We will see you for the post show. And as always, please be excellent to each other.